when we ponder the Word of God, we are constantly being exposed to a different way of thinking, God's way. That's the value of pondering the Word, because on our own we think a human way, we think a natural way, but when we ponder the Word, we are immersed in God's way of thinking, and it's very different. I think it comes up in today's readings, this difference. First of all, there's this kind of comical story about Saul and David. Saul, the great king, the leader of 3,000 picked men, meaning the best soldiers. Here's a powerful general going in search of David. But even a powerful general, even a great king, has to relieve himself sometimes. And so, and usually, like anybody, he wants a little privacy for this business, and so he goes into a cave. So the contrast already is between the exalted dignity of the king and the humble reality of being a person, a human being who needs to relieve himself. So he goes into the cave to do his business. Who's in the cave? The very one he's hunting, his mortal enemy, David, and his own soldiers. So, perfect opportunity for David to kill the guy. He's out to kill him, he should kill him. That's what enemies do. That's what combatants do in war. They kill each other. And the companions of David see it this way, because that's how almost anybody would see it. What an opportunity. Kill the guy. The Lord has delivered your enemy into your grasp. David doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. And his reasoning is, this is the Lord's anointed. This is not my enemy. Yes, he's my enemy, and in a natural way, I'm opposed to him, he's opposed to me. But David takes the perspective of faith. What is God doing here? How does God see this situation? Well, God sees Saul as his anointed king. And who has the right to go against the will of God? So David takes God's way of thinking and lets Saul go. So what I'm highlighting here is how different God's way of thinking is from our way of thinking. How important it is for us to listen deeply for what God is doing, how God sees a situation, how God thinks about a person, because it's different from us. Well, this is what happens, and he lets Saul go, and then after Saul is finished with his business and goes out of the cave, David follows him out and says, okay, look at what happened here. The Lord delivered you into my grasp, but you're the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to raise my hand against someone anointed by God himself. I'm not going to do it. That's up to God. And Saul realizes that not only is David right, but it's a sign that God has a special plan for David. So even Saul, who's got some kind of mental illness and some kind of he's twisted with resentment and jealousy, even Saul can recognize the hand of God here. God spared him because David spared him. It's an Old Testament example of what Jesus teaches. Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Which, to our nature, is a very absurd, contradictory bit of advice. But, in fact, is the way God sees his enemies. The way God looks at us. He is merciful to us, even though we are sinners. Okay, that's one example of God's thinking different from our thinking, and a lesson in how we are to look at one another, including our enemies. In the gospel, we see another example of this. Here's the description of Jesus choosing the 12, the apostles. Now, since we know about the apostles, and we know that they're the first bishops, and that they are the foundation stones of the church, we tend to look at a passage like this through that filter. Well, see, it worked. God chose to establish his church on these 12 men. and the church still exists, so it must have worked. Yes, but that's looking at it from a perspective that has a lot of years of training. What did it look like when Jesus chose these men? Well, almost absurd. Who are these men? Fishermen, uneducated men, sons of thunder, tax collectors, traitors. Who are these men? Why choose them? You would think, now this is the way we think, naturally we think, well, find the most qualified, the brightest, the most courageous, those who are committed to the mission, and you train them, and you get a band of followers, someone with whom you can actually build your project. You don't just pick up people who you happen to meet on the street. But that's what Jesus does. He calls people, and then he chooses from among them those who are willing to follow. At least these 12 have all already made a commitment to follow. And we know how quickly some of them answered the call. They just dropped their nets and followed. Matthew left his tax collector's post and followed. So there's something in these men that God can build on. An opening. Maybe we could even say what we studied yesterday, the virtue of humility. A willingness to submit themselves to the guidance of Jesus. There's something God can work with here. But from a natural perspective, there's not much to work with. Jesus chooses them so that they will be with him, so that they will be sent forth to preach, and that they will be given authority to drive out demons. So first they have to be with him. That's the first step. They're chosen, and they have committed to follow him, but they have a lot to learn. And we know he has a 3-year training program for them. He sends them out to preach because the word of God must be proclaimed, the kingdom of God must be proclaimed, and he gave them authority over demons because the kingdom of God has come to cast out the kingdom of the evil one. Now, this reveals something about how God thinks about the church and how he thinks about us. Remember, God is almighty. He could do it a different way. And Jesus could have commanded all the evil spirits to go out of all the people in the whole world at one time. He could have healed all the people in one moment with one command. He's God. He can do that sort of thing. So why is he involving these characters in his project? This shows us God's way of thinking is different from our way of thinking. We would think, well, if I can do it myself, I'll do it myself. Why would I have anybody else get involved and mess it up? Because he wants us to be part of the work. I've used this example before. Why do parents have their children do some of the household chores? They could do it better themselves. The children, they mess it up. They don't know how to do it. Well, because the parents want the children to be part of it. They want the children to learn. They want the children to grow so that they can take responsibility. Now, in a human level, that's also normal. We train children. But God, who could do it all himself and doesn't need any of us for anything, he chooses us. He chooses us to participate in the spreading of his good news, in the establishment of his kingdom. It doesn't make sense to us. And yet, it's a very great privilege. There's something very compassionate about choosing unqualified people and letting them participate in a very important project. And that's what he does. He chooses, none of us is qualified. None of us is fit to proclaim the good news and be a representative of Jesus Christ in the world, and yet we are all chosen. In fact, we're chosen from baptism. What did we do in order to earn to be baptized, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and brought into the church? Nothing. Nothing. That's God's choice. God's free choice. God's love. Well, it's God's love. And since I talk about the way God thinks as opposed to the way we think, when we're talking about the way God thinks, it's all love. It's all love. There isn't anything else. He is love. So his reason for doing things is always love. Because we are not all love, and we have lots of other factors in our calculations. It doesn't make sense to us much of the time. The way God works doesn't always make sense to us. This is why we ponder the word, why we submit ourselves. We strive to be humbler and let God's will be in charge. Let God's way of thinking be in charge. So that his grand plan of including us in his kingdom can actually bear fruit. So that's what we're doing here. We're letting God be in charge. We're letting him choose us if he wants to choose us. We're letting him send us if he wants to send us. Doesn't make sense to us. In fact, we're letting him send other people too who are obviously unqualified. Say, okay, God's will be done. And may his kingdom grow. May his kingdom be established in the hearts of all men and women in the whole world.